Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Pod Nuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. Folks, I'm coming at you live from Fort Lauderdale this Monday, January 21st, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Yes, it is a holiday. I did not work, but I am here recording a podcast. Don't worry about it. I had a nice day off from work. So, folks, I have a special show for you today. I have with me a host from yet another, well, dude's on tons of podcasts, but he is actually the co-host of the Computer Business Marketing Show. He is the host of the Tech Life Show. You will find that on the Podnuts under the old Podnuts Daily headline. He is also a contributor to the Computer Business, the Sunday Live Show, which is called the Computer Repair Podcast, and I always get them mixed up because I don't have notes, so that's where you are here. But ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let me introduce to you Paco LeBron from Prodigy Techs. Paco, how are you, sir?
Better than good, better than most. How are you?
I am good, and you don't have to worry about stealing somebody's line. although the line, I believe, is better than I deserve, right?
Yep, that sure is.
The Dave Ramsey line, if I am not mistaken, correct?
As far my line or...
the better than I deserve.
I don't know, actually. I'd have to ask Mr. Dubinsky and where that's from. I know that better than good, better than most is from Les Brown. That's where I got it.
Okay. Well, we knew it was somebody who's much bigger than us in this space. So... All right. So, folks, I reached out to Paco because I had an opening this week. Well, let me rephrase that. I kicked somebody to the curb because I wanted to get Paco on because while I was driving on one of my trips to Tampa over the last month, I actually listened to his podcast, the one that was, it wasn't the Goodbye 2018. It was the Hello 2019. Where he talked about his year in review and some things that I thought, you know what, we need to come on and talk about that. So I wanted to get Paco on. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to be talking about the conference that you will hear all of us on all the podcasts talking about, and that is the TechCon Unplugged, which is coming up later this year, September 2019. Paco is one of the organizers of that. He and Jeff Hallish are putting that conference together. So, Paco, with that, let me let you tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, so the conference meetup, this basically gathering of IT business owners that we're going to have, is the TechCon Unplugged. It's going to be in Grand Rapids, Michigan, September 20th to the 22nd. And, you know, with kind of like there's so many conferences that are going on right now. You know, we know that like IT Glue just came out with their GlueCon. You have the Spice Worlds of the world. You know, why on earth would we come out with another conference? And, you know, the biggest piece is we wanted to have the ability to have a safe space, a safe opportunity for a lot of our IT business owners to come in and learn from the ground up. And, you know, we felt that we had the ability just with our influence, a lot of our community that have been really itching on having that one great event that they can go to every year, know that they're going to come home with some great value and able to just talk with other like-minded business owners in the same space.
So this, I guess to put it, is going to be your tech-to-tech conference. Where it's going to be for techs, by techs. There will be some vendors there, but they are not going to, in a sense, run the show. It's going to be mainly people like us. We'll have vendors participate. We'll have workshops. If some of you remember the Unconvention shows from a couple of years ago. It's going to be similar to that, where we're going to have some pretty intense hands-on workshops that you'll be able to participate in. Did I say that correctly?
Yep. So essentially, what it'll be is basically we'll have a presentation similar to kind of like the Channel Pro shows. We're going to have one stage. We'll have everyone kind of attending as it kind of cycles through. And again, like you mentioned, it's going to be, we're going to have vendors involved, and we're going to have basically community invested vendors. So essentially, we want vendors that are going to be able to not only help out the audience and community and be invested in their growth, but also to have our community to make sure that they have a buy-in to that product, that service, so that it's an all-around great agreement, great partnership, kind of moving forward. But exactly like you said, we are trying to do a way where we're trying to do this so that other IT business owners can get the exposure or just the knowledge of tools and just basically services that are out there that they may believe they can't afford, or services that they may not have even known about, and also bring them into their portfolio to help bring and make them money as well moving forward.
All right. And I know that one of the phrases that you mentioned, one price all in. So the $199 ticket price is the price that you pay for everything happening at the conference outside of your travel to and from the conference and your hotel room. So no extra charges for Dave and Buster's.
Correct. Right. So we went into this event because we wanted to make sure that it was an all-inclusive event. You know, everyone, when you go on vacation, we love the all-inclusive packages. You don't have to worry about anything. You want to pay your price. You get there, you want to enjoy yourself. And that's kind of the mentality that we had going into this. So exactly like you said, Marvin, it's $199 for the ticket price for TechCon Unplugged. That includes your all the details of the actual venue. So basically all your food, breakfast, snacks, lunch, afternoon snack, and dinner for not only the Friday night social, where everyone will be able to meet their favorite podcaster, but also on Saturday night, we're going to walk 6 minutes right across the street from the hotel at Dave and Buster's. And that dinner will be also included along with an entertainment card that will have some money pre-filled so that all the guests and all those attending to the event can enjoy themselves that night as well. Then that Sunday, same as again, breakfast, lunch, and we got some snacks going on for them as well. So we wanted to make sure that we made coming to this event and attending this event as easy and less stressful as possible. And we did that with a couple of our partners. We partnered with United Airlines. So United Airlines provided us a discount code for anyone flying into Grand Rapids, Michigan. You'll be able to get anywhere between 2 to 10%. Code is on the website, and it has to be booked, obviously, for those dates that you're coming in. We also have worked it out with the hotel. There's no payment for parking. So you don't, if for those that are driving up, you won't have to worry about paying for parking there. And then for those that are flying in, there's a free shuttle that's coming from the airport right to the hotel. So you don't have to worry about having to catch an Uber or going through just to get to the place as well. So again, we wanted to make sure that this was an event that was all inclusive and as easy as possible for attendees to make the most out of their trip to Grand Rapids, Michigan.
All right. So there you have it, folks. The 2019 TechCon Unplugged, September 20th through the 22nd in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I will have links in the show note that you can go if you can't spell techconunplugged.com, that you can just go to go to the Podnuts Pro page and click on it, and you'll be right there, and you'll see all the discounts. You'll see the schedule, speakers, as the website continues to be updated. So plenty of time to plan for this, folks. You do not want to miss it. All right, and let's move on to... So Podnuts Pro tonight is sponsored by no one, but I do want to give shout-outs to Malwarebytes and to NetScout. They have done some stuff for me and MB Systems. They are both going to be on the show in the coming weeks. So I just wanted to go ahead and give a shout out to them and let you know that they will be on the show. I believe I'm going to have both Alex and Sherwood on. And then for the NetScout show, we are working on something spectacular. And when I say spectacular, folks, you know that Podnuts Pro is audio only. We don't do video on our show. And there's a reason we don't do video. And it has nothing to do with the way that I look, because I look fantastic. But my office and the office of our guests and stuff, when we record, a lot of times it's after hours, recording from home. We're going to do something with the NetScout show where we are going to do a live video podcast. And let me tell you why. We are in the works to have some free gear from NetScout to give away. And rather than do what I normally do, where I just say, hey, the first person to listen to the show and say this will get a prize. No. We have to do something where you'll have to be in attendance and you'll have to participate. And that will be either a ticket or who knows how we're going to do it. But we're going to do it to where you'll come to the live event in order to participate and get your free NetScout tool. Don't know which one it is yet. Still working out the details. But just wanted to give you a heads up that you will want to pay attention when I start putting out the advertisement for a Podnuts Pro Live. Should be fun.
Sounds like a good time.
Well, you know, there'll be music and girls and no, there won't be any of that. Little scorecards in between the timeouts. So, all right. So, Paco, let us go ahead and get to why I asked you to come on. So, you took over the Podnuts Daily show a while back and are in the process still of rebranding it to Tech Life. Yep. And you are going one step further than the rest of us, where most of us are on just to give tips and stories and share access to vendors and other technicians. But you were actually going one step further and sharing real life experiences, not just the funny stories and the goofy customer tales, but you're actually saying, you know what? This is how my business is going, good, bad, whatever. So it's been an interesting little transition. So how's it been going up until the last show?
So things have been great since the last show has aired. So last episode was, I believe, 511, which is hello 2019. You know, we just kind of made sure we fixed some things as far as the way we were upselling, cross-selling, partnering with different vendors, making sure that those vendors were providing not only services that we were confident in, but also allowed us to give that transparent look at what we are providing too. So the Untangles of the world, fully going invested with Synchro MSP from the guys over at Repair Shopper and Repair Tech, and really being able to understand what was the pitfalls on a lot of the things that we were doing and how to make things a little bit more streamlined as far as cash flow and understanding, just making sure that this thing stays afloat with the momentum that we've been receiving in the last 3 to 4 months.
All right. So on your last show, you actually talked about how things had been going for you the last year, and you had to be pulled back from the edge by our good friend, John Dubinsky. And yep. So one of the things that I wanted to do is, one, I wanted to say, well, I guess not thank you, but more like you're welcome. You had mentioned my name in the list of people that had helped you, not just in the last year, but over the previous years. And I wanted to publicly say that I think since I've actually started being a part of the Podnuts podcasting community, that has been one of the things that has kept me here, in the fact that this is a community where it seems like, you know, everybody's got their goals of what they want to get to help them and their business. But regardless of those goals, there is always something to be said for techs being willing to help other techs. And so you going through your struggles and having people that you can turn to and say, hey, I need help here. We're not talking about, hey, I need to help. I need help picking out an RMM. This is help like, man, something ain't right. This is screwed up. I may not be in business next week. What do I do?
Right. I think so kind of peeling the layer back. So the second to last episode I released to everyone. So I do run Prodigy Techs. It's for those that don't know who I am. We're an IT business shop that was previously a part-time business from 2013 to 2016 that then transitioned into full-time status from December 2016 till now. And then at the time we were focusing more on computer repair and then transitioned into the MSP managed services model in the last year and a half to the 2 years in that part. And so the last episode or second to last episode that I aired of Tech Life, I kind of summarized the 2018 and what it's done for our business and myself and the tolls that it took as far as everything that kind of happened and what made it to 2019 and how we basically were able to get out of it. And exactly like you mentioned, you know, the point of me taking over that show, because Jeff Halish was the previous host of Pod Nuts Daily, is to my spin was always to be very transparent. I felt that it was a disservice to a lot of part-time businesses and full-time businesses that are just starting on how to get into the IT business and managed services world. And I felt that if I documented and explained and really talked through all the pain points, the highs, the lows, everything in between during this transition, it would help give a clearer picture to those that are considering to do it and are on the edge and think that they're really not cut out for it. Or to those that hear that, you know, a minority business owner went through all the things that he did and still was able to come out on top. So it was one of those where to hear those, have those two in play so that the community and the audience can listen and benefit from not just someone else talking about their stories as they move along with their business.
So you are still kind of in the, I don't want to say newbie stage, because you've been doing tech for a while, but in terms of doing it full time, and you know, from the standpoint of this is your income, whereas before right. you had the full time job, you know, you kind of did it on the side. You know, I wanted to give to you and to everybody listening a perspective of somebody that, you know, I'm entering my 22nd year of having my business MB Systems. Now I too did tech before that. I worked at a computer store. I had another life actually before I was a computer tech. I started late in the IT game. There's a lot of techs that, you know, are doing all this stuff in high school and college and, you know, start pretty early. I started late. I actually had finished grad school, had been in the corporate world for a while, then went to do tech stuff. And when I decided to do this full time, I went literally cold turkey, in the sense where I was sitting in the car with my boss one day. We were talking about stuff. He didn't want to do it. I wanted to. And I said, well, I'll just go out on business on my own. And he's like, not a chance, you'll fail. And I said, really? Excuse me? So that next day, I had my resignation letter out to him. And 2 weeks later, I started MB Systems. But it wasn't all roses and sunshine after that. I went through a lot of the same stuff that you went through. So I kind of wanted to give a perspective of somebody that 20 years later can say, hey, we'll see you on the other side. You know, you can make it through. And, you know, as Paco is giving these real life stories in real time, you know, I want to go back and talk about all the crap I went through, because I went through a lot of the same crap you did. You know, except, you know, when I was, the IRS doesn't sue, they garnish.
And oh, yeah, they do.
But that was something I almost had to deal with in my early years, because I did not start my business off correctly. And I had to deal with the IRS. And that scared the living hell out of me.
And they don't just garnish, they take us assets too.
Mm-hmm. So it took me going through that and going through a couple of other things to finally get my head on straight and get on track. And so I wanted to talk about those types of things for me that paralleled yours and tell people, look, first of all, if this is your dream, if this is your passion, if you know that this is what you want to do, by golly, do it. And as Jason Nesmith on Galaxy Quest says, never give up, never surrender. And there is a community of techs that listen to these podcasts, that come to these conferences, like we're going to be doing at TechCon, that you can reach out to and say, hey, can you give me a little guidance here? Have you been through this? I didn't have that 22 years ago. You know, the people I knew were in my area and were my competition and didn't want to help me. You know, it took one of my clients to tell me, hey, you need to go to my accountant and get your, I'll do what you did where you were clearly transparent on your show. Basically said, you need to get your shit together because he knew that, you know, at that time I had, you know, $5,000 in debt to the IRS. I had a $7,500 loan to a friend that almost ruined my friendship. And, you know, I actually have, I didn't show you this, Paco, earlier, but I still have the folder with the promissory note that I wrote, December 12th, 1997, where I was going to, I supposedly was going to pay $208.34 each month for 36 months to pay that back. Mm-hmm. And about a year in, we almost came to blows because I wasn't paying it back as I said I would. Those are tough times. Mm-hmm. Now, and when you're starting out, folks, you know, you've got to be sure that you do the things right and get yourself set up. And if you have to go to an accountant, if you have to go to somebody else who's running their business, which again, there are so many more resources today than I had back then. And it took an accountant to tell me, look, sit down, figure out how to understand cash flow, pay yourself a salary, and keep yourself straight with the money. And now granted, we all come into situations. I had some situations that just like you, you know, you had situations that kind of got in the way. It's not easy when you have debt hanging over you, right? Because you don't have the money to pay the debt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't have $5,000 to just give to the IRS.
Right.
You know, and every day that you didn't click, click, click on the interest machine kept right on going. But I got an accountant, got me squared away, made those payments, set myself up. I mean, I literally, now I think I'm a smart guy, graduated from college, got a master's degree, business administration, did all the right stuff, but a simple concept like cash flow, you know, was something that really started to turn me around. So, you know, understanding that if you've got money in the business, just because there's money in the bank, don't take it out. You know, yep. Leave that money in there to pay the bills for the next month and the next month. Understand cash flow. Set yourself up properly in your business to do that. So I just wanted to first get that out there because I know the money thing was huge for you a year ago.
Yep. Yep.
So I wanted to say that.
And as, and like you said, it's not about, and I truly believe this, and everyone says that finances are the number one thing that takes down a small business. And to me, it's not about the making of the money. It's exactly like you said, it's the cash flow. Cash flow is always what strangles and bottlenecks a business. And once you understand the little tweaks that you have to do, you look at how you were the year before and see how easy it was. So again, looking at how last quarter was, September or October through December was terrible. And going into 2018's, or I'm sorry, 2 years ago. So 2017's October through December was terrible. 2018's October and December was probably our busiest time we've ever had. And that was just a matter of making those changes, going all in and being able to adjust things so that you don't feel the sting when it comes down to the lower producing months.
So I'll take that one step further. So early in my career. So I'm trying to say that I can, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be delicate. So when I first met the woman that is now my wife and she had moved down, one of the struggles that we had early on is that she didn't understand, first of all, why are you not making a ton of money? You're in IT. IT guys make tons of money. And I had to say, okay, you watch too much TV, first of all.
Yep.
But second of all, she thought, you know, like a lot of people, well, you know, pay yourself and then anything that comes in extra, you know, that should be ours instead of reinvesting it in the business. Mm-hmm. And it took us a long time to get through that. Now, granted, in the beginning it was tough because she made more money than I did.
Right.
She had a nice little job. She had the insurance and, you know, this is going back to say 2000, I think I was making 40 grand and she was bringing home the money, which at the time was big money. You know, I'm not going to say 40 grand's not big money, but you know, when your spouse is making more than you and she's like, you know, dude, you're in IT, you should be making tons of money.
Right.
And you know what? I don't know if 40,000 was a number. So if you're going to, you know, send in an email and make fun of me for 40,000 or say that, dude, you were rich at 40,000. Don't worry about the number. Just worry about the wife was making more than me. And
there was a considerable difference. Yes. With this. Yeah. And that's a big thing too, even for those that have been doing this for a while. So, you know, it's called, I have a buddy of mine that where there's been an issue with money throughout their entire marriage. And it's not so much the money, it's more of, you know, his wife is the primary breadwinner, but then he's still doing this. It's been 30 years and it still looks like a hobby. And there's a consistent, mm-hmm. you know, you got to get serious about it. And then the moments that he is serious about it, it's kind of, you know, squashed or swatted away because he hadn't been serious the previous, you know, 15 years. So it's that dynamic of trusting your partner too that causes a lot of that stress to try and get the business going off as well.
Right. So yeah, that is a big thing too. And which I'm going to say this, and I don't know how it's going to be taken, but one of the things that I wanted to do early on is I wanted to make myself look like a business from the start. I didn't want to have somebody looking at me and saying, you know, oh, that's a nice little hobby. When you get a real job, come back. You know, so, you know, I set up accounts with vendors. You know, I set up a separate phone number. I mean, I did everything I thought I needed to do, got uniforms, you know, which it's not really a uniform. It's just a shirt with my name on it, but it was a lot better than showing up in, you know, jeans and t-shirts all the time.
Right.
So that, you know, I needed to look the part because I wanted people to respect me for the business. And then you had made a comment earlier too about being a minority. So we've got kind of a double-edged sword because it's one being a minority in life.
Yep.
And then it's a second thing to be a minority in tech.
Yep.
I mean, that's two battles that we have to fight. I've got to fight it just because, you know, because of the climate that we have in our country right now, I can speak to it a little bit. You know, being Black ain't easy. You know, it's hard when you walk up to a business or you walk up to somebody's house and you can see on their face their disdain.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the best way I can explain it. And I don't know if I've shared this before, but when I was going to grad school, in the town of Wake Forest, North Carolina, one of the jobs that I did was deliver pizzas. And so I would drive out to people's houses to deliver their pizza, and I'd walk to the front door. Now, just to give you a perspective, 10 minutes earlier, I had been talking to them on the phone, having a great conversation. They were happy, this and that. Oh, look forward to seeing you. Come on, you know, blah, 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 blah. Get to the door. And I can see them looking through, because in Carolina, you know, they got those screen doors. So, yeah. So you can, you know, they leave them open. You can see them. And they look at you and they're like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm Marvin. We were just talking on the phone. And to see somebody reach into the money pile that they were going to give you and take out a dollar or two for the tip. That kind of puts in perspective, you know, the things that you have to deal with when you have to talk about being a minority in America. So that's what I dealt with growing up. I also made sure I didn't take minority business loans when I started my business. I don't know if you did.
No,
you didn't.
No, I was very, so similar to your story. I've always been a very proponent of being a business owner that happened to be a minority, not embracing the fact that I'm a minority business owner. And there's a lot of opportunities that are available to us for that reason. And it was one of those where I felt like I wanted to do this on my own, quote unquote. But what I had to understand is there are opportunities that people are looking to do business with you directly. And that's just basically resources and clients you're leaving out for you to come through. Now, what I've also learned is that that's not the only factor as well. You know, you have to be a great business. You have to be able to provide the service and the knowledge to solve those issues for the other businesses. So it took me until this past year to get my minority business enterprise certification through the state. So, you know, being able to say that I do that really helped on getting some of those RFPs and so forth and so on. But similar to you, it's never been something for me to embrace until I started serving on my nonprofit boards, which are very concentrated on the Hispanic and Latino communities, and being able to see the high school and college students come straight for me because they haven't seen an IT business owner, an IT leader in the tech field, a Latino or a minority being successful in their eyes. And they're asking me, how did I get there and how can I move further? So it's one of those where, as that put into perspective, now I've begun to embrace it much more.
Okay. Well, now would be the time to embrace as much as possible and to help lift up other minorities as much as possible, but not just for the sake of being a minority.
Right.
I mean, one of the things that I like to tell people is, you know, I'm not going to support you because you're Black. I'm going to support you because you're good.
Exactly.
And that's how I want to be treated. And hopefully that's how we can learn to treat everybody else. So another thing you talked about is you got to a point where you had that day where you forgot to pick up the kid.
Yep. Yeah, that was definitely a tough one. That was.
So family dynamics in general. Now, I know that a lot of times we have an industry where most of us don't have set hours.
Right.
Even though we may say, hey, our business is open 9 to 5 like everybody else. If the business owner calls at 7:30 in the morning and can't get logged in, a lot of times we're going to help them get logged in. Or if there's a project to be done at nights or on weekends, unless your name is Matt Rainey, you know, you're going to be trying to help them. So right. I wanted to address the family aspect of it, because just like you had that little, you know, eureka moment about, you know, I can't let the business ever get in the way of me and my child.
Yeah.
So I don't have kids, but I do have a family. I've got a wife. I've got, you know, a nephew that I take care of a lot of the times. There have been times where, you know, my business has made me miss flights to family events. Or, you know, for instance, the last month and a half, I've been out of town 4 of the last 5 weekends. And the wife has been left alone. Those are hard times.
Yep.
So let me just ask you first, since then, has there been anything that you have put in place or that you have said, I just need to refocus and make sure that this never happens again? Have you done anything to address that?
So I haven't put anything in place as of right now. That's not entirely true. So what I've done is I partnered with another IT company that primarily does cabling, but he knows his way around, you know, from switches and stuff like that. And just from working with him back and forth, and he was a referral from Comcast. So I work with a rep in Comcast who helps me out every so often with a couple of leads and introduced me to this guy and really great at what he does. He's now seeing some of the stuff that I do, like, you know, the Arachnus products and stuff like that. So he's starting to get involved with that. So we're aligning a lot with a lot of the things that we do. And I have a lot of trust for him on some of the things that he does. So if in the event that I'm in a pinch or something happens, I can always rely on him for support. But the plan is to hire an office admin in April. Probably going to do a virtual assistant in the next maybe week or two, but January is already almost over. This was supposed to be done like a week ago, right? Just business has just been that busy. And if you don't make the time, you're not going to get the chance to do so. But
right.
The plan is to get a virtual assistant now so I can at least iron out all those frameworks and documentations and processes so that when I do hire my office admin, I can just pass it over to her, which I already have in mind who I'm going to do that for. And then in June, July, hire a tech, and then they'll be able to do a lot of the field work while I'm at the office. But a lot of the times when, you know, so as a single father, you know, my schedule tends to change sometimes. Usually I have her consistently every Friday to pick her up from school. And every other weekend from Friday to pick her up from school all the way to Sunday to drop her off. Now, those are normally fine. Sometimes I'll get a couple issues after 2:30, 3 o'clock on a Friday. Not very often. What really comes the issue is her summer breaks, her winter breaks, and her half days. So those are during prime hours. And what I've done is either just set a vacation warning that basically says, hey, I'm out of the office right now. Please email our generic ticket help desk and leave a message. If it's an emergency, we'll get back to you as soon as possible. And then, you know, either if it's something I can do remotely, I'll try and sneak some time in. If not, I'll have Fernando, who's my cabling guy, to handle that. Or it just will wait until I come back the next day. Same thing with her on break. You know, she comes with me to the office, but I know that it's a admin day. There's not really much work that's going to get done. Maybe some repairs, maybe some remote work, but the focus is she likes coming to daddy's job. So she'll enjoy herself and, you know, she enjoys her time here. When she gets bored and she's kind of not wanting to deal with it, hey, we pack up her stuff and we get going. So that's kind of how I've dealt with it. But the plan is after this half of the year, there'll be some pieces in place so that I can dispatch and I can go ahead and handle a lot of the back end stuff and the tech work that I won't have to worry about it as much.
All right. So as you grow your business, just keep in mind to have those structures in place and have the plans ready to go for when you hire, because I will let you know that I made a couple of mistakes when I did the hiring, when I thought that I needed help. Because I was letting stuff slide. I actually hired 2 techs before I needed 2 techs. And so I actually went back and pulled up numbers. I won't tell you how much I made in 2000, but I will tell you that in 2002, My net income for that was minus $15,723 because I hired techs and I didn't.
Went to payroll.
Yes, I had to make payroll. Gotcha. So I ended up firing the one tech later, and that was basically, again, my fault for hiring the techs and kind of not monitoring them enough. Mm-hmm. I will say this story. So when I did get around to monitoring them and found out that they were playing on the job, watching porn, stuff like that. Now, remember, I wasn't big with the firewalls back then. I think I had just gotten my first one and then started, you know, blocking. So for like 2 days, it was a game of the tech, the lead tech, by the way, trying to figure out a way to work around the blocks that I put in with the other side, me trying to watch what he's doing to see what he's going to do to get around the blocks I put in place so that I can put more blocks into place. And at the end of the second day, I'm like, what in the hell am I doing?
Right.
I'm not going to spend time working, you know, playing this game with this deck. You're fired. You're out.
Yep.
Okay, so that was off course.
And that's important about, you know, employee guidelines, right? That's why everybody should hire, you know, an HR group or something like that if you don't have the know-how or the ability, if you don't know someone.
Yeah.
You know, there are plenty of those that are out there. I think I've talked about Cognos is the one I'm probably going to go with here in Illinois. And I think they may be in a couple other states. I think Next Step, Insperity, you know, these are companies that highlight, hey, we're the HR group, which a lot of us just think like, well, we don't need that. And although we may not need the HR portion of it right now, it's good to have in that fee because they take care of the insurance. They'll take care of the 401k. They'll take care of, they'll even take care of payroll sometimes, depending on what the packages they have available.
Right.
You just got to do your research if the insurance is any good for their buy-in. Is it any good for the investments that they're doing? You know, things like that. So oftentimes, if you pay per employee through that, you have an HR department essentially, and you'll have all that documentation. You'll have all that available to you if you don't want to deal with it on your own.
Well, and realize that there's a difference in you can outsource HR in terms of you want to just outsource payroll, you want to outsource the hiring. I know that down here, there's a couple of organizations that I've used to, maybe you don't need a full-time tech, but you need a project tech and you go through somebody like for me, it's Becker Personnel, but you know, there are staffing companies that, you know, you can go to and say, look, I need a tech for 1 month or 3 months. And they will, you know, get you the tech. You work out the payment arrangement, you know, where you pay the company, they'll pay the tech, the insurance is on them. Yep. Obviously, like you said, with things like, you know, HR and payroll, you can do things as simple as, you know, have QuickBooks, you know, help you with payroll or ADP, those types of companies where, you know, get payroll, get those admin stuff off your plate.
Yep.
If you're not ready to hire somebody full time to be your admin or part time, you know, just get them off your plate. Find those companies. There are HR outsourcing companies all over the place to help with that. They won't help with, you know, a tech that likes to watch porn, but.
Yeah, I think for us, I think it's Robert Half Technology.
Robert Half. Yeah, they're big. Robert Half was a sponsor of my junior achievement company long time ago.
Interesting. I have a friend that's now on my previous board, and she works for Junior Achievement now.
She works for Junior Achievement
mm-hmm.
of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name?
She's young. So it's Stephanie Ramirez. She probably just joined maybe in the last year or so.
Okay, because you know I used to work for Junior Achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She just joined them in the past year or so.
All right. Some of the best stories I have are from the national conference that we used to have in Bloomington, Indiana.
Okay. That's where a significant other is from too.
Okay.
She went to IU over there.
All right. We'll have to talk off air about that.
Okay.
these are not safe for broadcast stories.
Understood.
All right. So we've talked about the money. So let's see. Did we talk about save your money?
No, we didn't talk about save your money yet. We talked about money, but we didn't talk about saving it.
So a big thing is save your money. Once you've figured out your cash flow, what you need to pay the business expenses, and you come up with a salary to pay yourself. Now, that was the biggest thing. Now, did you actually get to the point where you paid yourself an actual salary, or were you doing like most people, just taking out what you thought you would need or what you would want whenever you wanted?
So, yeah. So in the beginning, that's how it, so the year before, so in 2017, before I got laid off on there. So So the year of 2017, at that time I had severances. I had all that. I had a little bit of money put away, 401ks, all that stuff that I had taken out from loans. So I was kind of had a good cushion. After the next 6 months, it was exactly like you said, I would make transfers of whatever I need to pay things, because I just had to try and figure it out. Now what I've done is I am doing I'm trying to go to twice a month, but right now I'm only doing once a month, where I pay myself on payroll the 25th out of the month, one payroll following the profit first assessment, which is half of whatever's coming in. That's essentially what I calculated to be my yearly or monthly salary. And I'm only doing recurring and not what I closed after the fact. So there will be times where I've done projects, retainers, where people have purchased prepaid hours. All of that just sits in my account. And then what I'll do is I'll do the monthly salary, and then I'll do a distribution at the end of the month that essentially would make up for it until I have enough recurring that I'm comfortable to say that's my salary.
Okay. Are you set up as a sole proprietor, LLC, S-Corp?
As an S-Corp.
Okay. That's okay. So I set up as an S-Corp also, but I actually went the route where I figured out what my salary should be. Mm. If I were working, you know, a job somewhere else, took all my expenses for the household. So at the time, my rent, or now it's mortgage, plus all your bills. And what is the net amount of income that you have to bring home each month to be able to pay all those bills?
Okay.
That's what I set my salary at, minus whatever. I think I did 30%. So you add up all your bills, add your 30% for your payroll, your FICA, and all that stuff. Okay. And that's how I did. I set my salary so that I covered all my bills. Everything else stayed in the business until the end of the year. And again, it was something where I had set up the cash flow so that I had an account that I knew that I had to have X amount of dollars in to cover. At the time, I think I did the next month. I just did the a month ahead. So I needed to make sure I had enough money in the banking account to pay for all my bills for the next month in case none of my clients paid me.
Gotcha.
And then anything above that month at the end of the year. So at, you know, December 28th or 29th or whatever I needed for January stayed in, and anything above that became my distribution.
Gotcha.
And I did a one-time distribution at the end of the year, as opposed to most people would do a distribution at the end of the month.
Right.
Or whenever they thought, hey, I want to go buy a new car. I'm going to give myself a distribution of, you know, $5,000 for my down payment. I don't do that.
Ideally, the goal is to have it at the end of the year, exactly like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. I think for me, since the only thing consistent is that recurring revenue,
right,
is why I set the salary to that. Although we net, and you know, probably 8 to 10 times more than what I'm doing as my recurring revenue, since it's not consistent, I felt that if I put that there, I was going to put myself in a worse position. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, on the flip side, now that you're saying that, and I'm wondering if I might end up doing this, is putting it there basically means, all right, now that puts my feet to the fire to make sure that it's there to be able to run payroll.
Hey, listen, I just told you what I did. You find what works for you. And right. anybody listening, find a system that works for you. I just wanted to say, make sure your bills are covered by what you pay yourself in salary, whether you pay yourself bi-monthly, bi-weekly, once a month. But set it up to where you've got all that stuff covered. And the biggest thing, the reason I keep bringing that up is because that's what got me in trouble with the IRS. Mm. Taking out money and not setting aside the taxes.
Yep.
So when I put myself on salary, you know, it was through full payroll so that I paid myself a salary, the taxes were taken out, and I didn't have to worry at the end of the year, do I have enough money set aside to pay for the taxes? Nope, they were covered. So, you know, payroll taxes, the quarterly taxes, sales tax.
So sales taxes, and I didn't talk about this on the show, is really what got me. Instead of putting it to the side, I would just basically say, oh, you know, I'll just take care of it at the end of the quarter. And, you know, little by little, and penalties coming up, and then you find yourself, you got two quarters, and then you forgot to file the one.
Right.
You know, if you're doing it on your own, you know, that's a big lump sum that you don't have. And, you know, the state wants their money. They're not playing around. And, you know, they will seize your assets if, you know, you don't pay that going through. Yeah. So sales tax is something that, although it's great for us when we're resellers of equipment and so forth, abusing it is really going to cause you some problems too. So absolutely. That happened to me. And they'll even revoke your certification with the state, whether it's, you know, your incorporation, your LLC, et cetera, because of it.
Yeah. And another note for everybody listening, make sure you do your research as to what is considered taxable in your state.
Yep.
And in your county, because I know in a lot of places in this country, you might have a state sales tax and you might have a local sales tax. You may have a surcharge. You know, a lot of states had a penny increase in certain counties. So if you work in one county, that's 6%, but the county next to you is 7%. You've got to account for that somehow, because when the state comes, they're going to want their sales tax. And it also is different based on whether you're selling from your store or from your office. Mm-hmm. Or in some places, they actually charge the sales tax on the client location.
Right.
So yep. If you send something to a customer that's in another county or another state,
it's got to be their tax
rate. It's got to be their tax rate, not yours. So,
yep.
Again, a lot of work.
Yep. And especially the rates. You got to pay attention if the rates increase too after the year. So I had that problem where before it used to be 9.25% for local sales tax. And in 1 year, it changed to 10.25%. Now, I vaguely remembered it, but it wasn't in front of mind. So I'm already 3 months in. I've been missing a percentage of sales taxes that I hadn't been charging the people. So that's something to take into consideration as well.
And when the Department of Revenue sends you those letters and says, hey, you're $200 short for, you know, November.
Yep.
You don't get a lot of time to pay that off. You need to pay that off pretty quickly.
Yep. They do not play.
So, yeah. So save your money. So if you have to, you know, calculate out payroll, sales tax, FICA, and put it in a separate account, you know, for a lot of people for, you know, I had early on, I don't have it anymore, but I actually had a business savings account so that every check that got paid by a client, I knew I had to take out X amount and put it in that savings account. So I would have money to pay the sales tax the next month. And then I had a percentage that was based on my payroll so that I knew that the next month when I had to, you know, pay my payroll tax to the state of Florida or to the federal government, that I had that money still in the bank account that I could go ahead and do that deposit.
Yep. Same here.
Big, big thing to keep track of. Now, again, depends on your type of business, and go talk to your attorney, talk to your lawyer. Yep. Me and Paco are just helping you out. Friendly advice, yep. But we're not professionals in the legal and accounting industries.
Yep.
All right. So save your money. Yeah. I wanted to make sure I got that out there. So I have a rule. I don't borrow from family and friends anymore.
That is a safe rule to do.
And I don't lend to family and friends anymore.
That's also true, because unless you don't think you're going to unless you don't believe you're going to see that money again, then.
Well, no, that's why it's not a loan. If you need money, if I can just give it to you, or if I can pay your bill, which is what I've done for. Let's see. Does my family listen? I'm trying to remember, because I do have some sisters that, so I don't lend it. If it's something where you need money and I, you know, can pay a bill for you, or let me just take care of it, or here, I'll send you $100. That's not a loan. That's not a pay me back later. That is yours. That's how I have to treat it, because we can't let money get in the way of family and friends.
Agreed.
And let's see. Oh, personal injury. You got hurt on the job.
Yes, I did.
How was work the couple of weeks after you sliced? Was it your hand or your wrist?
It was my wrist. So, yeah. So, it was basically superficial. It just bled a lot more than what it was. But it was just a matter of, you know, like you said, it gives you that one thought in your head, like, man, if it could have been worse, what do you do? You know? And that's why making sure your insurances are in place.
Yes.
So it wasn't as bad as I have made it sound. It's just one of those where that was just the second to last straw to have broke the camel's back that day, of just a miserable day altogether. But you know, personal injury is a big deal to worry about, especially if you hurt yourself at a client site as well.
Right. So you've got all these types of insurance. So if you're a business that has employees, and you have to worry about workers' compensation, or if you are just solo, you need to worry about something called disability insurance.
Yep.
Because if you can't work, your customers aren't going to want to pay you for work you don't do. So I had a situation about 5 years ago. Well, I had two. Let me rephrase that. So I thought I broke a finger playing basketball. And it was on my right hand, which is my dominant hand, which would have been an issue for me typing. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't devastating enough that I could never work, but it was something that I thought about where saying, oh, if I had really broken that finger, or if I had, you know, if I had something major happen to me. So that happened. And then 2 weeks later, I almost had my eye ripped out.
I do remember this story that you almost had your eye poked out or from playing basketball as well, right?
Yep, playing basketball, because I played diehard basketball up until 3 years ago. I finally retired. I said, enough. I have to make sure I can work over making sure I can dunk over some teenage kid. So, yes, that is something too. Make sure you are paying for the right insurances. And for a lot of us that are solo technicians, if you are the main breadwinner and you're not on your spouse's insurance, make sure you have insurance on yourself.
Yep.
Because if you can't work, whether it's Aflac or something else, you've got to make sure your bills get paid.
Yep.
So just wanted to bring that up here. And we talked about family. And of course, if this is your dream, don't quit. Be willing to make the hard choices.
Yep.
So my hard choices actually haven't been terrible. But in terms of buckling down, for instance, my first hard choice was paying for an accountant. You know, I didn't want to have to pay somebody who all they're going to do is tell me I have to pay more money and tell me how to budget and tell me how to do stuff. But you know what? That was probably one of the best decisions that I did early on, was to, you know, realize, look, this is not my expertise. I need help. I need somebody to take care of this for me. So Make the hard decisions. If you need help, ask.
Yep.
Accountant, attorney, setting up contracts, setting up your business the right way, making sure your structure's in place. And then I forget why I wrote this down. Fire clients. Because this doesn't really apply to what we were talking about. I think I may have been thinking about something else in terms of, I think I may have been thinking about, even if you've got a client that is your, what do they call it? Your, not the golden parachute, but the, you know, that is your, you know, it's a big chunk of money, whatever the term is.
It's not the prime, yeah, I don't know.
So if you're afraid to fire a client because you don't want to lose that money.
Main source of revenue?
Yes. You have to look at your business from a sustainability standpoint. You know, are you enjoying your work? Are you able to, you know, take care of all your customers the way they should be? Are you making the right amount of money that you should? Because just because somebody is paying you a big chunk, are they draining your resources? Are they taking up too much of your time? You might have to make a decision to fire that client and go get better clients, in the sense that they're going to pay you what your rate is. They're going to pay you, but they're not going to suck you dry.
Right.
In a sense, that must've been why I put that there. My attempt at note-taking, folks. All right. So I think, at least from my perspective, I think we've hit everything that I wanted to, review on your show. And again, I wanted to do this from a standpoint of, you know, somebody who has been in your shoes, has been down that road. Hopefully, you know, I'm still going to make it further down the road. Still have some of these struggles. We all do. But, you know, letting everybody know this is a community where, you know, we're here to share the stories, good and bad, provide help where we can, provide resources where we can. If you need help, ask.
Yes. I agree.
All right, my friend. I guess I don't have any cool, nice stories to lead us off that will be happy. I'm just
no Benjamin Franklin quotes. I mean, you'd stop doing that a long time ago. Yeah. I mean, that was a lot. That's what I'd look forward to all the
time. Maybe we should start. I should start doing that again. Well, you know, it was easier when it was the, you know, the M&M show.
Oh, true.
Of course, you know why I really started doing that?
Why?
To get them two to shut up so we can end the show.
So that was the ending of that they knew.
Yes. That's hilarious. That was where I could say, okay, it's time for the Ben Franklin quote of the day. And they'd be like, oh, okay, we're done. So I don't have that anymore. So, but maybe I'll bring it back. Maybe we'll figure out something. All right. So folks, we have been talking with Paco LeBron from Prodigy Techs. Also a fellow podcaster who hosted the show Tech Life, which we talked about a lot today. Also is a co-host of the Computer Business Marketing Show and is also on the live show, the Computer Repair Podcast. He is all over the city of Chicago, and he will be co-hosting the upcoming conference, TechCon Unplugged, September 20th through the 22nd in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And that's a mouthful there, Paco. You're the man. All right, folks. That is going to do it for this episode of PodNuts Pro. If you have questions, comments, tips, show suggestions, be sure to send them to me, marvin@podnuts.com. Follow us on the Twitter @PodNutsPro. If you have not reached out to Paco and given him your support, do that. Head over to podnuts.com, find his contact information there on the Tech Life show. It's under the Podnuts Daily heading. Reach out to Paco. Hey, we're all in this together. We all hope to do this for a very, very long time. I will put his contact information in the show link as well, just to remind you that if you're poking around, give him some support. You will also find on there my Amazon affiliate link. I have to say thank you for that, because I actually had some nice little revenue in last month from that. So I appreciate that for people listening to the show. Again, no additional cost to you when you make a purchase on Amazon, but something comes back to the show and help us do some things like we're trying to work out with NetScout and the Podnuts Pro live show coming up. So that'll do it, folks. Paco, thank you for coming on to the show. We'll be talking in the coming weeks, I'm sure. And for those of you listening, we'll see you next time. And until then, holla.